Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Kerry Weber.
To America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. I'm Father Matt Malone, Editor-in-Chief of America, and I'm joined by my colleagues, Father Sam Sawyer, who is sitting in for Kerry Weber. We are talking with Dr. Brian Vincent today about a pro-life approach to public discourse, an important topic in an election year and also in this month, in which we recognize the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision that in Roe v. Wade. You can join the conversation at 888-322-8465. That's 888-322-8465. Dr. Vincent, I wonder if you could let our listeners know what are some of the specific ways in which we, fall into the vilification of one another, or specific things that we should avoid in our discourse from people, from the point of view of people who cherish a pro-life perspective. Do we have Dr. Vincent?
Hello?
Yes, are you there?
Okay, yes. I'm
sorry.
I was taking a moment to think about your question.
Oh, okay.
I think
something that we should all do more often.
Yes,
civic discourse.
Exactly. This is lesson number one. This is
what I preach, right? I think we need to make sure that even if an issue for us, and many issues are for us, I think as Catholics, morally clear, that does not in itself simplify the issue. It doesn't make the policy question simple, and we ought not treat it as simple. One of the things, I think the way I would summarize my article is that that citizenship is hard work. It requires some talking, listening, and thinking. And while it's good to be passionate, and because that gives us energy and focus, when we have these conversations, we ought to let our heads rule, to think through these issues with our neighbor. I think one of the things I suggest is we ought not let, and I borrowed from the Pope on this, that we ought not let any ideology or principle become a substitute for humanity and our respect for humanity.
That it's important to see the person in all of their complexity.
To see the person and to consider each person and not let some, again, political ideology interfere with that. And as I mentioned earlier, that to remember that changing the law is only a piece of the process. We want to build pro-life relationships with each other that will sustain a pro-life approach to all of life, even beyond the policy change, and help us through that change. And another issue is, I think we often forget, and I see this quite often, that compromise is a good thing, and compromise is a pro-life, I think, approach to governance. We have to find points where we can meet in the middle, out of sheer respect for our neighbor. So that's another kind of practical thing that I think we should keep in mind.
That's a crucial point, isn't it? Because not many people would think of compromise as being actually a part and parcel of the pro-life approach to politics. But compromise in and of itself, there is an element to it when it's done with integrity that speaks to the respect that you have for the people with whom you are engaged in this debate.
I think exactly, and I think we need to remember that a compromise on policy is different than a compromise on attitude or moral point of view.
You're right. You don't want to elevate a tactical choice to a moral one.
Exactly.
Necessarily.
Exactly. Yeah. You maintain your moral standards, but as a tactical point, you make a compromise and then you agree to discuss this further.
Well, it seems, Dr. Vincent, that part of the conversion you're calling us to here in this pro-life approach to civic discourse is that the passion and the energy that comes from moral clarity, that ought to be devoted to the hard work of then actually engaging in the complexities of the discourse and the policy questions and the energy necessary to compromise and then keep working for a more just solution on the far side of the compromise as well.
I think that's an excellent way to say it. I think that is exactly, and it is kind of a conversion issue. I feel like it's been one I've been struggling with for much of my life, is to, you know, that just it's very hard sometimes to listen to positions that we do disagree with and continue to listen,
sure,
just out of respect for that other person.
Well, you're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. We're talking about a pro-life approach to our civic discourse. You can join the conversation at 888-322-8465. And Michelle is on the line from Durham, North Carolina. Michelle, welcome to America This Week.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm just so, my heart is so filled with joy that we're having this conversation because I felt like I'm just kind of by myself out there saying the same things. You know, like, don't just fall into the trap of, you know, these oversimplifications. And I think, you know, we're called to build bridges, you know, enculturation. That's what we do as Catholic Christians, right? We're bringing the gospel into the nooks and crannies of daily life and the moral choices and the difficult situations that people find themselves in, you know, and there's so much compassion that can come from listening to other people's positions, you know. And, you know, there's so much common ground that we have with people, too, that we're missing out on because we're just stuck in the, you know, by the media or, frankly, just being overstressed and overexhausted and not wanting to take the time that it takes to develop a nuanced understanding of these issues, you know,
right,
like the economics of prison. You know, that's something that's horrifying.
Right.
You know, the fact that if you have money, you can do things that poor people can't do, you know, or the fact that if, you know, what race you are has an effect on whether or not you may be executed,
right,
you know, or, you know, the civil liberties. Like, you know, I've said it over and over to people because I have, you know, gay friends, a lot of gay friends, and I have very conservative Christian people. And I'm like, you know what? You all want civil liberties. Guess what? That means you need to be okay with the fact that they want to be able to do this and you want to be able to do this. And we have to, you know, we get to celebrate that. You get to be okay with people doing stuff that you don't actually agree with, you know, and that's part of living in a diverse society. But regarding things like abortion, you know, there's so much common ground that we are just not gaining because of this false dichotomy. You know, late-term abortion is, I don't believe, is the same thing as the day-after pill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you believe that life begins at conception, you know, if you look at the science, like, there's some, that is a kind of a moral belief.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, it's undeniable that this is a child that could survive if it's just not born yet, you know, and there's so much common ground that we could have where people's hearts could be more open, you know, if we would listen.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
so I'm just very grateful, you know, for these points that you're making.
I'm very grateful for the call. Thank you very much. A terrific point because I think most people know that these issues are complicated and that they require complicated solutions.
It requires
a lot of work. But the way that the discourse is structured doesn't really respect people's intelligence in that way.
I think that's exactly right. And I think it is structured that way because it's to the advantage of those who have the resources to try to win elections and win campaigns and these types of issues. What that shuts out is millions of citizen voices who have very subtle and different approaches to a lot of these issues. They know it's complicated, but my fear is they're just being beaten down. We're all being beaten down and beaten out of what I think would be a more healthy democratic process.
Dr. Vincent, one of the points you made in your article was that you say right here, most real-world policies require us to choose between two goods rather than between good and evil. And I think that that is a key issue here, that choosing between two goods, that gets complicated. That often seems unclear. And the which good wins out is often a question that reasonable people can disagree about. But I'm wondering if you can say a little bit more about how approaching policy questions through that lens, the two goods, not always good and evil, and how to recognize the good that the other side, so to speak, is trying to achieve can help advance civic discourse.
Well, I think that that works at all sorts of levels. In the article I talk about, I perceive our fundamental dichotomy, you know, between, say, Democrats and Republicans in America is kind of an emphasis on freedom versus an emphasis on
equality, I think.
Equality, right. So, and I that's so at a very deep level, I think we can all see that, well, freedom and equality are both good things. The question is, where do we put the line between them? Where does my freedom begin to interfere with your equality? But I think that also works at every very, or most, very specific levels. In discussions of education, I hear all the time, you know, from politicians, well, I just want to do it for the children. Well, we all want to do it for the children.
Right.
Right. Like, right. You know, there's not an anti-freedom and, you know, pro-inequality party out there.
That's right. Exactly. So we're trying to find that compromise again, where we can live together in the best possible good for all of us. And then, like I say, at the very specific policy level, whether it's gun control, I think we can recognize that certainly, you know, there are rights to be recognized, and yet there is gun violence that has to be recognized. In education, we can recognize, I think most of us, the value of traditional public schools, and we can recognize the value of alternatives to those traditional public schools. And so the question is not, is somebody trying to destroy children or is somebody trying to destroy society? We all perceive that we are interested in what's best, and we perceive some facet of the goodness in those particular issue positions. But we need to listen to the goodness that's represented by the other side.
Yeah, it's not only having an operative faith in the inherent dignity of those with whom you are engaged in debate and decision making, but, you know, also having a faith in their motivations.
That's right. That they have the best of intents as well. That we are trying to achieve what we perceive as best for all of us.
Are there ways in which you see this playing out for the good, either where you are in your own state in Louisiana or in the country, where people are kind of taking a better approach like this?
Does come up. I think, like you were saying earlier, most of us recognize kind of intellectually that these issues are complicated. And I do see leaders in state government who recognize these things, and that's their whole approach, is I need to listen to you and recognize the value of what you're saying. But those are kind of isolated cases. Just thinking about your question, sitting here right this minute, I can't think of where I've seen a general pattern in that direction.
Well, Dr. Vincent, maybe one example, although I know it kind of stalled out at some of the legislative levels, but, you know, some of the conversation around how to provide better family leave policies and better support for women who are pregnant and after they deliver their children, I think that's one of those places where perhaps we can recognize people coming from very different perspectives on the abortion issue itself can still recognize, well, one goal we share is we want to be able to support women who are in pregnancy. We want to be able to give them the ability to have what they need and support them.
And perhaps influence their choice to not have an abortion.
Exactly.
I think that is. I think that's been perhaps there is a growth in a broader pro-life understanding. I think I see that within the church more than I see that within politics. That we are all kind of starting to listen to each other a little better about what we mean by pro-life and what a rich array of policies that's going to require.
Right, exactly. Well, the article is called Keeping It Civil, A Pro-Life Approach to Public Discourse. It was in the November 2nd, 2015 issue of America. It's by Dr. Brian Vincent. It's a terrific piece, and I invite everybody to check it out at our website, americamagazine.org. Perfect piece for reflection as we really head into Iowa and New Hampshire, and of course, during this month when we recognize the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. I should say this, Dr. Vincent, you do have some common ground with your former governor, Bobby Jindal. He also published in America Magazine.
Oh, how about that? I don't even think I knew that.
Yeah, exactly. When he was a young, unknown politician, about 20 years ago, he published a couple of times with us. So we're further along than we thought.
I like to think so.
All right, very good. Well, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our own editor-at-large, Father Jim Martin. He's going to talk about his latest book, Seven Last Words. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.